LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the days of our lives.
It is Friday, the 14th of December, 2018, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Oaksend, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, I'm back in the big chair. Did you miss me? I took a couple of weeks off while we got It's a Wonderful Life up and running at the Gateway. And now that's happening. In fact, it's happening right up until New Year's Eve. So you still have a chance to go see a great show. Even though I'm in it, it's still a great show. I'm playing Mr. Gower, having a great time, just loving it. Terrific cast. Music by Gershwin. Yeah, like, it's the movie. It's a Wonderful Life. It's a movie. But Peter Jorgensen has adapted it into a musical using music from, what the heck is it? It's Rhapsody in Blue and some pop songs that the Gershwin brothers wrote, plus some other stuff from the 30s and 40s, and some Christmas songs, too. And tap dancing. Jim Hibbard's in it. He's great. So, yeah, if you want to check it out, go to the Gateway and see us in It's a Wonderful Life. But that's going. So now everything's normal now, so we can get back to regular programming. Thanks again to Chris King, who let us use his interview with Bill Millard to fill space while we were away. We didn't get to play the whole thing, as you may have noticed, but I did manage to get the tail end of it. So we'll hear the rest of the Bill Millard interview today. I know there were a few people that were asking about it. A lot of interesting stuff in there. So we'll get to that in a little bit. We've got some new local music that's just been released. And we're going to hear some of that, including a compilation of Vancouver punk music that our CITR's own Russian Tim has put together. And so we'll hear some songs from that, plus some other local groups. And give you a sneak peek. Well, not a sneak peek. No, just a rundown of some of the festive events that are happening in and around Vancouver this weekend. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Oh, I let the music run out. All right. Well, let's hear some music then. This is Russian Tim and his band, the Pavel Bures. And where'd it go? It just disappeared. Okay, let's try it again here. Just one moment. I have to vamp while I get my playlist back up. I love it when these things happen. All right, here, let's do this. Let's open up. The CD player and do that. You know, you have everything all nicely planned out, and then you hit the wrong button, and it all comes crashing down on you here. I know what I'll do. Here we go. We can go find
digital stuff. December. November, CanCon, FemCon, local. And where is he? Russian Tim and the Pavel Bures. Here they are. Here they are.
Thank you.
So that's Andrea Superstein, and she's a local singer-songwriter, jazz artist, who performs in three languages, English, French, and Hebrew. And she's just put out a new release called Worlds Apart, and this is the first track called Nouveau. And we also heard from Russian Tim and the Pavel Bures off the, what's it called, Punkcouver? Number two, Russian Tim's new release of local punk acts that you can find in all your regular music outlets. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to listen to part two of the Bill Millard interview on Chris King's on From the Pit podcast. But first, some important messages from important people.
You must have come never back home. You never see me again.
Ebola.
I go to National Engineering College.
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 Fridays from 2 to 3:30 p.m., it's the Bepi Crespin Presents radio show.
It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format.
Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drones, spoken word, cut-up collage, and general Crespin weirdness.
Bepi Crespin Presents, Fridays at 2 p.m. on CITR-FM 101.9.
Streaming at player.citr.ca.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Hey, bro, I was kind of thinking that I might want to write, like, stuff for a magazine, dude.
You know you can do that at CITR and Discorder, right?
What?
Yeah, you can review live shows where you get in for free, or music and books and stuff that's coming out, or do write-ups on artists and local issues for Discorder magazine.
That's sick, bro.
Yeah, just email volunteer at CITR.ca and they can help you get started or just come into the station whenever.
Dude, I totally will.
So over the last couple of weeks, we've been playing excerpts from Chris King's interview with Bill Millard. And Chris King has a podcast called From the Pit, which you can find at fromthepitpodcast.com. I think it's, anyway, just, you know, do your usual Google thing and just type in From the Pit Podcast and get all of Chris's interviews with a whole range of theater artists in and around Vancouver and across the country as well. But his latest interview was with Bill Millard, outgoing artistic managing director of the Arts Club Theater Company of Vancouver, talking about his last 50 years at the helm of what started out as just a small little regional theater group above a broken down old gospel hall on Seymour Street, and has now become one of the largest theater companies in the country, and sort of what his experience has been. We're going to pick up sort of the last 20 minutes of the interview now, and Chris starts out by asking Bill about his feelings about directing musical theater.
Musicals or plays, which one do you like more?
Well, I did a lot of plays when I started. Didn't really think about doing musicals, obviously, at Seymour Street, not being big enough. We did some musical reviews, but I never considered myself a particularly musical director. I'm not a choreographer. I had a music background and interest in music. And then when we got to Granville Island, I thought, well, maybe I'll try my hand at it, and started working with people like Bruce Kellett as a musical director, and some extraordinary talents like Jeff Hislop, and I mentioned Ruth Nickel when we did Pippin, which was the first mm-hmm. musical we did here. And then carried on from there. And then, I encouraged others, Dean Regan, who is a kind of a director, choreographer, wonderful, and he created a lot of wonderful shows for us, Red Rock Diner and Black and Gold Review and such. But then when we got to Stanley, and it started to I started to get inspired by the theater itself, built in 1930, and look at some of the really classic musicals like My Fair Lady and West Side Story, and then was very fortunate to start working with Valerie Easton, who really Bruce sort of promoted. Me getting to know her, because I had been working with others, and it really was working with her and how we got along that I realized, well, I'm not a choreographer, and I don't have to be a choreographer as long as I understand, what I'm looking for in actually staging a musical. And so I got very interested in it and started then doing less plays, partly because of the challenge of actually running the company. And even though by then we had a general manager, I still had a lot of time. I continued to do the negotiating and dealing with rights and that kind of thing, and building the company up to be solid. So, and musicals was a form that I could all do both jobs at the same time directing, whereas plays you really you have to be totally 100% focused on the play. I kind of miss that, but I did a lot of work at a time where that made sense in the kind of way the company was growing. I wouldn't say I would choose one over the other. So I think there's something about a musical that really can transport an audience of all ages and all demographics in a way that a play can't necessarily. And some of the great experiences, like doing Miss Saigon or Les Miserables or even Once, which I just did this summer, that really does take an audience in a kind of different direction that I think is that's kind of neat to watch.
And I know you've handed the company off. Of course, Ashley Corcoran is come in, but you're going to maintain an office here. Is it bittersweet?
Well, I don't. Once opened in, I stepped away officially from the job in the middle of May. Ashley started full time end of February, beginning of March, and I carried on while, the transition that the board felt was necessary. And then a producer person was hired the middle of May, which is when I really left. And I've spent some time since then really helping the producer person who's doing the negotiating and all that admin side of it that I did, that Ashley, wisely is not going to do. And so really the summer has been back and forth. It's been a kind of quasi-retirement, as it were. But tonight, or at least this date of September 12th, Ashley opens her season. So that really is a good transition. And then, I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks. I think it'll be a much more of an opportunity for me to really understand what retirement means. It's great that the company has allowed me to have this office at Granville Island. Of course, they've dumped all the stuff from all my other various offices into it, so I can barely open the door. So I'll spend a lot of time sorting through that, because there's obviously a lot of stuff and memories and literally paper that I should just shred. So it's probably too early to know, ask me in a year and I'll really be able to reflect on what it's like being given a lot of advice, people telling me, what you expect in retirement don't expect. It's one of the interesting things, like somebody said to me, well, you probably should focus on something. Don't make a dramatic decision like, don't sell your house and move, or, we have a place on Demon Island, so that's a great retreat place to go. But I decided to relearn the piano. Yeah. So I was a pianist, or I studied piano, and at one point, thought about being a concert pianist, until my piano teacher was a well-regarded teacher and well-regarded a Vancouver pianist, did a lot of sort of concerts in the city himself, said to me, well, Mr. Millard, I think I'm in university now. I think you will be an excellent piano teacher. And so clearly I was not going to be a concert pianist. And that was fine because, now I'm at UBC and got other interests. And so I really dropped it. But obviously, with doing musicals and one thing or another, kept a very strong interest in music. And occasionally when I would, be at home trying to figure out a score or whatever, I'd sit down at the piano and kind of pick away at what it was. But anyways, I decided, well, okay, I've got time. I'll start to play the piano. So I asked the musical director, Ken Cormier, how do I get back? How do I start again? I don't, all the music I had before is gone, and, basically I have very little. And so he told me about an exercise book that I should get. And so, as it turns out, somebody had already sent it to me, thinking that, if you're going to get back on the piano, this is what you should use. So I've started exercises at the piano and sight reading, which, I could sight read. So, but suddenly sight reading, sitting at the piano, it's great. Mm. So, So apart from that, I still haven't really gone into the rhythm of what it is like not to go to the office. But every once in a while I get called up and say, well, can you come into a meeting or do this or that or the other? And I have to really think through the process of actually, oh, okay, I got to put on a set of clothes and go to work.
Actually get there.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask my last question was, what's next? But I guess concert pianist is in your future, is it? Going to get back on the piano horse, as they say.
Oh, yeah, I think travel. I've always enjoyed traveling and seeing theater, and wherever I go. I have family. My brother and his family live in Waterloo, Kitchener, so they're back east. And as I say, I mentioned the place on Demmon. It's amazing when you have time to read that you actually read. Mm. I never read novels because I've read so many plays, and that was quite getting used to that. Every summer, I would start reading all the plays in planning the next season, and so this summer I wasn't reading plays, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought of one thing that somebody mentioned to me. John Wright actually, he got the Career Achievement Award at the Jessies, and we were talking, and he said, you would be the person to really write about theater in Vancouver. I mean, there are others who are equally, if not more, qualified. But having lived through it, not necessarily the history of the Arts Club, but, just like what we've talked about, mm-hmm. What has it been like to see that growth in the 50 years, the 50-plus years that... to 60 years or whatever from when the playoffs started and really professional theater became a reality in this community. And of course, we've already lost some of the key players like Joy Coghill, mm-hmm. Without sitting down and hopefully maybe somebody interviewed her, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But looking into that, I think would be a good activity.
What are you the most proud of?
I think, first of all, leaving a legacy of the buildings, a legacy of a company that's solid, handing over to Ashley, it's on very, very strong footings. She can dream. She can fail in whatever way. I don't think she will, but giving her that opportunity to take risks. So the fact that the company is on a solid footing, and then the facilities themselves. I mean, we own the Stanley Theater. We do have a long term lease here at the Granville Island Stage, so hopefully we won't we'll be able to renew that. And of course, we have a long term lease at BMO. I think. That was because honestly, I thought of retiring several times, and it was really the drive to realize what the production manager Stefan Bommel said to me 5 or 6 years ago. He said, we need to move our costume shop. We're bursting at the seams in the shop building. And so we first of all looked here at Granville Island, but also I wanted to find a large rehearsal hall. The rehearsal hall upstairs here at Granville Island was never meant for the Stanley, of course, or big musicals. And it's extraordinary that we did some of the ones we did, like Les Mis with 24 people in that small space. And so combining that, as I say, we first looked at Granville Island and then... unfortunately, when the Playhouse closed, that opportunity came up to take over what was going to be their production center. And although we had no intention, again, of moving the Revue stage what is now the Goldcorp stage, removing it when that became possible, that then cemented that what was a long-term dream of having a space that could be flexible and do new work. So I think the combination of the company being in a very good place plus the facilities, I think, I'm proud of that, that is something that I'm leaving for the future generations.
How do you know personally when a show is successful for you?
Well, financially, it's pretty obvious if you're selling tickets. You know, I think, success in you know, has many ways of defining it. One is artistic, clearly. Mm. Is it success artistically? It could be a success artistically and nobody attends it. Mm. That has nothing to do with its success from that point of view. Success commercially is or financially, you know, do we sell enough tickets is pretty straightforward. Mm. But you can tell both things. You start with the play or the musical itself. Okay, so it's really difficult to muck up a successful musical like Mamma Mia that's, you know, already proven itself to be a success. You'd really have to be determined to destroy it. Mm-hmm. So you know that I mean, obviously you want it to be a success in all levels. But the tunes are the tunes, and people are going to jump up and down no matter what you do with them. But then you have to make sure that you do honor the work. You know, you can't be facile about it. Yes, you do have to make sure you've got the best people that you can get to bring that particular work to the stage. Artistically is a different thing, like particularly with new work. And how do you judge it being a success? So from an artistic point of view, really, for me, it's a gut reaction. It honestly is an instinctive going to see a work for the first time and judging, does it work for me personally? It might not work for the person sitting beside me or anybody else for that matter. But and because it took me a long time to really understand what critics were looking at when they came and judged my work. And, you know, you can be very overly sensitive about what they were saying. Today, you know, we don't even have critics anymore, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We have some. We have some wonderful people that despite all the odds, continue to write and broadcast and blog and whatever. And I'm so grateful to them because the word has to get out there about work that people might not know about. I mean, the Arts Club is a massive marketing machine. So, and that was something, you know, I didn't mention, but in the early days, the Daphne Goldrick, which I talked about, we wrote this musical review that was a flop, but she was a great mentor to me in many ways. She was an actress that I met when I was the stage manager at the Playhouse, and she said, you know, one of the first people you should hire is a publicist. And so we hired Marlene Dixon, who really transformed the way we looked at making sure the world knew about plays at the Arts Club, because who knew about the Arts Club? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Well, until Jacques Brel came along, but and then she could capitalize on that. And she was fierce in making sure, you know, she get as much free publicity as possible because we didn't have much money to advertise. So we could, if the show was good, and even if the critics poo-pooed it, we could overcome that, if you know, because eventually an audience would find it and make up their own minds. But I think, you know, to answer your question, I think it's really, from my point of view, just an instinctive response. And you know, over the years, I would go and see the first run of one of our productions and be able to give notes. And sometimes I would know that, I don't think this is going to make it. And other times you would be able to say, you know, if you do this or you think about doing that, and depending on whether the director was open to those ideas, you know, and trusting an artist, you know, trusting that the artists that you hire are going to make the right choices, I think is you know, a large part of making sure that you're going to get what you want on stage.
And do you think that that's your strength?
I think it's one of them, yeah. Yeah, I think, and also people used to say that I had a really good eye for casting, that I'm a real believer in warmth on stage, and so again, an actor coming into an audition, if I felt something from them, I didn't need to know much about them. I mean, you know, some directors spend a lot of time trying to get to know the actor. That, to me, was not important. I didn't need to necessarily know who they were. But if they struck me as somebody who had warmth, then you know, again, casting them, to me, was a major part of making sure the show was going to be a success. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for joining me today, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to my talk with Bill Millard. If you enjoyed this chat, please listen to more From the Pit podcasts, available on iTunes or at fromthepitpodcast.com. We're also looking for sponsorships. If you want to sponsor us or know someone who does, please contact us through our website or on our Facebook page so we can continue to bring you more episodes.
Well, thanks very much, Chris King, for letting us play that great interview with Bill Millard. And as he said, you can catch the whole interview along with, it runs about an hour and 20 minutes. And that is the latest in a series of interviews that Chris has conducted with various theater artists around Vancouver and across the country at From the Pit Podcast. .com. And while we're at it, don't forget that you can also find Dave Radio on iTunes and wherever you get podcasts. Our live radio program is, of course, archived and turned into a podcast immediately following our broadcast. And we're available in the usual places as well. So subscribe and comment there for us, too. While we're talking about the Arts Club, right now they've got a their Christmas show. It's sort of a follow-up to Pride and Prejudice, sort of based on the characters created by Jane Austen from Pride and Prejudice. It's Miss Bennet Christmas at Pemberley by Lauren Gunderson and Margot Melkon, and it's playing right now at the Arts Club Granville Island stage. Also going on in the realm of festive events, we talked last time we were here, which was last month, we talked about the best Christmas pageant ever, which is produced by Naked Goddess Productions, starring Melissa Wee and a gaggle of brilliant young performers, directed by Tamara McCarthy and... playing right now at the Havana. It goes until, let me see, I think it closes this weekend. So you still have a couple more chances to go and see the best Christmas pageant ever. And that's we've put the link to it on our Facebook page. And you can also go to Naked Goddess Productions to find out more about that. So let's see. Let's take a quick break. And then we're going to finish off with some more great new local music releases that have come across our board recently.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Disco party. BB's disco. BB's disco party. What does it mean to be at a disco party? BB's. BB's disco party. What does it mean to be? What does it mean to be?
Tune in every Tuesday at 3 p.m. to hear music from the current issue of Disorder Magazine, that sassy magazine from CITR 101.9 FM, hosted by me, Bibi, editor-in-chief of Disorder.
Tune in to Too Dreamy, Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m. on CITR, featuring music from local female and non-binary musicians and some sweet bedroom pop tunes.
It could be global, trance, spoken word, rock, the usual and the weird, or it could be something different. Oral Tentacles, Thursdays 12 to 6 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
Ah, that was cute. little scratch and sample there for you. Okay, we're going to hear now from Kitty and the Rooster. This is Jody and Noah, and they've got a brand new release called One Gig Hard Drive. And this song is called... Oh, it's called Kitty and the Rooster's Official Bio. Tomorrow night at the Little Mountain Theater at 26th and Main Street, the Dirty Betty Show. Join them for a holiday seasonal silly, sassy, saucy show that will crack you and your nuts. Join them for their monthly show at Little Mountain Comedy Department. The All-Star cast features Vancouver's hottest female-identifying performers letting their hair down, getting dirty, with performances by comedians, improvisers, and queens. It's a one festive night you won't want to miss. Grab your ladies, grab your gents, grab some mulled wine, and let's get saucy. It starts at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. It's a 19 plus ages kind of show featuring the Dirty Bennies, Betties,
who are Jennifer Perrin, Ashley F., Jill Lockley, and Stephanie S. Webster, hosted by Claire Pollock. Check out the Facebook page and head up to Little Mountain Gallery, 26th and Main, tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, for the Dirty Betty Show. Hey, it's a big party at the Wise Hall tonight. It's the East Van Holiday Hootenanny with live music featuring Dopey's Robe, The Orange Kite, Phono Pony, Brother 12, Brutal Poodle, Local Creature with special guest DJs, and all the proceeds are going to the Atria Women's Resource Society. It's at the Wise Hall, which is on Adnack Street, and it gets underway tonight at 8 o'clock. So don't want to miss that. Tier 2 tickets are on sale now. So get on board so you don't miss out. I'm really not trying to get it. That's Primp, another local group that just put out a new release, and the song's called Funky. A couple of months ago, we talked to Ron Reed, who is the artistic director of Pacific Theater, works under the church at 12th and Hemlock, and he had just written and directed a play based on a conversation, a kind of an imagined conversation between two great what would you say? They were kind of the two great fantasy writers. Let's just say that. J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, who kind of took different paths in their creation of their fantasy worlds. And now Ron Reed has taken one of those authors and adapted his most famous piece into a stage play. And it's C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it's going on at Pacific Theater now until the 29th of December. It stars two friends of the show, John Voth and Rebecca De Boer. And it's directed by another great friend of the show, Sarah Rogers, who we spoke to last month about who was acting in La Belle Sœur, and who was also the person that got me into It's a Wonderful Life. So we owe a lot to Sarah in this chair, and hope you go out and see Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I think you'll have a good time with it. It runs until the 29th of December, and it's there's matinees on Saturdays and evening shows running right up until then, and you can get more information about that at pacifictheater.org. And what do you know? That's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to us at DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com. Remember to like us on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at CITR Dave Radio. If you missed any or all of today's show, you want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. And remember to subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes. It's still called iTunes, right? I don't know. Anyway, you can find us where you find podcasts. Stick around. Audrey's on her way in with Too Dreamy. And it looks like she's got a co-host or a guest coming in with her. That'll be followed by Beppe Crespin with his radio art at 2 o'clock. And Nardwar, the human serviette, at 3:30. And we will return next week at this same time with our annual festive music show. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
newspapers and magazines did you regularly read to stay informed and to understand the
world? I've read most of them, again, with a great appreciation for the press, for the media.
But like, what ones specifically?
All of them.
Want to know more than Sarah Palin? Join CITR's Current Affairs Coordinator Alex DeBoer every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. in room 2514 in the AMS Nest to learn best practices for covering local current affairs topics for radio. The weekly training sessions will cover writing for radio, determining newsworthiness, media ethics, interviewing, writing balanced stories, and more.
Are you a friend of ours who loves to get discounts? Come down to CITR, more deals than you can count. We've partnered with some local businesses, so come down to us to get your card before it's too late.
As a member of CITR Discorder, you get amazing deals with some of Vancouver's finest local businesses, such as Devil Mayware, Audiopile, the Stormcrow Tavern and Ale House, the Biltmore, Book Warehouse, and Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium. For more information, visit CITR.ca/friends.
Your name is like a rose on the